Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we're starting off the Green Bay Packers practice week today as they get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this upcoming Sunday. Today is the first day of practice this week for the Green Bay Packers. Short week of practice. They play the Buccaneers on Sunday at noon at Lambeau Field. Comment from Patrick on the live blog kicking things off. Feels good to be 9-0, and the Packers looking for 10-0 already. Can you imagine that? With one win, Packers can equal their win total in the regular season from last year. Hard to believe. The Packers went 10-6 last year, but won the Super Bowl. Still boggles my mind how the Packers were able to do that a year ago. But they did it, and this year they can get 10 wins this upcoming Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember the last time the Packers played the Buccaneers? Quite a different set of circumstances, wasn't it? If I'm correct, that was 2009, and the Packers went into Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was winless, and the Packers lost. And that was kind of like the low point of the season. But at the same time, it was also the turning point of the season. Because from there on out, the Packers got hot, made the playoffs in 2009. That was the year they lost to the Arizona Cardinals in the first round of the playoffs in the wild card round. But the Packers have been pretty good since that time. 10-6 last year. Aiming for 10-0 this year. Lots to talk about today. If you scroll to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. We're going to get to that in a second as we talk about some of the headlines coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue for yesterday. And if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all those comments will show up on our live blog, and your comments are being approved as well by our live blog directors today, Jamie Jors and John Rahor. Thank you very much. Let's get right to it in this morning's Packers Daily Links. Top story today, Joe Philbin denies being contacted by Tulane University. Or is it the University of Tulane? Anyhow, direct quote here coming from Philbin. What he had to say on the issue when asked about it. He says, quote, "All I can tell you is I've got a great job here as the offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. I would think that thousands of guys would trade places with me. Anything more than that, I really don't have anything to say other than that there is no substance to it. I've got a great job where I'm at, love what I'm doing. We've got a group of guys that have worked extremely hard and they're doing some good things. I'm looking forward to seeing this thing through." So that's the word directly from Joe Philbin as quoted by Bill Huber of Pack Report. So Joe Philbin doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon, at least. It's kind of one of those type of things where teams that are still alive, whether it be the regular season or the playoffs, other teams, I guess I don't know how these rules extend to colleges, but I know other NFL teams are prevented from contacting assistants from teams that are still playing. John Rahor comments on the live blog, "Of course, Philbin could be hiding his wanting to go." Kyle Cousineau comments on our live blog, "If you hear Philbin's interview, it sounds like he's content being an offensive coordinator for the rest of his career, but I'm sure he's just saying the PC thing to the local media." Interesting thoughts. What could happen to Joe Philbin in the future? The connection to Tulane is that Philbin has his master's degree in education from Tulane. To my knowledge, he never coached there, but he did receive some schooling there, if I'm reading that correctly. And this is quite a long time ago now. Philbin is, I think somebody, a writer pointed out, 50 years old. And, you know, he's kind of at that point in his career where, you know, it's now or never if you're going to become a head coach in the NFL. I suppose that's being a little bit harsh, now or never. But, you know, you get older, and then teams seem to want to stay away, perhaps, from an older head coach with no previous head coaching experience. And we kind of had a discussion on Twitter yesterday. I was asked whether, you know, how serious this is about Philbin wanting a head coaching job, whether it's in college or in the pros. And I said, personally, I thought that it would be tough to envision him getting a head coaching job as a guy who doesn't even call the plays for the Packers, for the offense. And a lot of people proceeded to point out to me, which I'm aware of other people, other head coaches in the NFL that also didn't call plays. And you know, I think that's kind of the exception, though, and not the rule. I realize it has been done, and I realize it could be done, but I'm just, you know, I personally don't think Joe Philbin is head coaching material, at least in the NFL. Maybe at some point he could be, but doesn't it seem to me that isn't Joe Philbin kind of a vanilla kind of guy? And it's, you know, there's something to be said for that too. I mean, he's just not this personality that I think is the face of a franchise. You know, I think that he just doesn't have that outgoing personality, engaging, in which, you know, I think people rally around. I mean, I don't question his knowledge of football or at all. I mean, he's done a good job. You know, I don't look down upon him not calling the plays at Green Bay. Well, maybe I do a little bit, because head coach Mike McCarthy had to take over the play-calling duties. But, I mean, he is a big part of the game planning every week and deciding, maybe not in the moment, which plays they run, but which plays will work against the defense they are preparing for. So, you know, it's difficult. I mean, at some point, would the Packers ever consider turning the play-calling duties over to Joe Philbin? That's a really interesting question, whether Mike McCarthy would ever go back to that. Give him another chance. Question from EC Wiscott on the live blog. Do you think the Packers could sweeten Joe Philbin's contract to stay? Considering I don't know how long Joe Philbin's contract is for, I don't know. You know, it kind of depends how long his contract is. You know, there's other rumors that Tulane is interested in former Michigan head coach Rich Rodriguez, who is currently out of the coaching business. Of course, Rich Rodriguez got a lot of attention when he built up a program at West Virginia that was pretty good, left for Michigan, for which he got a lot of criticism for. You know, he kind of, I think, pledged his allegiance to West Virginia and then up and left for a understandably more prominent job at Michigan, received a lot of criticism, and didn't have success at Michigan. And now he's out of coaching. I think he's doing some TV work with CBS Sports this year. But anyway, he's in the running for the head coaching job at Michigan. Again, another rumor. And I just think that Boy, if I'm Tulane, that's who I go after, actually. I mean, Rich Rod, I mean, he's the kind of guy that, love him or hate him, is going to put people in the seats at Tulane. Tulane is kind of an underrated job, I think. They play their home games at the Superdome, the same place the Saints play. They don't fill it up nearly as much as the Saints. But if you're doing well at Tulane, that can be a surprisingly good job for a Conference USA school. But you do have to do a good job. And I see the discussion on our live blog has now turned to who would become the offensive coordinator if Philbin did leave. And again, just hypothetical here. But I already see the comments rolling in from DJ predicting that Tom Clements, the quarterback coach, would become the offensive coordinator. Kyle Cousineau says Clements would be the offensive coordinator. And John Rahor just throwing out a guess here. Edgar Bennett possibly becoming the offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. Kyle Cousineau pointing out on our live blog, all the assistants signed one-year extensions after the Super Bowl, and they're locked in through 2012. Interesting. If you want to comment on Joe Philbin, the offensive coordinator position, or anything to the like, please call into the show. Phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Who you think the next offensive coordinator for the Packers could be, hypothetically, or even if Joe Philbin may consider a job as a head coach somewhere, be it in college or the pros, feel free to call into the show and give me your thoughts on the situation. You know, it's interesting to debate who the next offensive coordinator for the Packers would be. You know, at one time, Tom Clements, quarterback coach, was contacted by the Chicago Bears about becoming their offensive coordinator. The Packers denied him contact, wouldn't allow him to interview for that job. And, which is interesting. I mean, a lot of times, if it's a promotion, they allow those, other teams to interview as courtesy. You know, if it's a lateral move, if he's just going from quarterback coach to quarterback coach, you know, a lot of times, you know, that's not as, you know, a prominent, I don't know what I'm saying here. You know, it's a lateral move. It's not moving up the ladder. It's just moving side to side. And but the Bears wanted him to be their offensive coordinator, which would be a step up, but, you know, the Packers denied it. And the Packers are reaping the success, though. There's been a lot of attention on several of the assistant coaches for the Packers about being candidates elsewhere. I mean, just throw out some of the names here of guys who have been talked about for other positions elsewhere in the league. We've got Tom Clements. We've got Edgar Bennett, who, you know, became the wide receivers coach and is now becoming more, you know, a bigger candidate. He's getting his name out, getting more experience, differing experiences, you know, from coaching the running backs to the receivers. We got Joe Philbin now, whose name has just, you know, been thrown out there as possible head coaching material. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, we've got assistant head coach Winston Moss, who was thrown about as possibly being even the head coach of the Oakland Raiders or the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals. Safeties coach Darren Perry fell into that category as well. And even linebackers coach Kevin Green, I know, has been discussed as being a possible head, or not head coaching candidate, but perhaps being elevated to defensive coordinator before at some point perhaps being a head coach. Could you imagine Kevin Green being a head coach? That's just weird to me. I don't know. I like Kevin Green. I feel like he's in the perfect spot right now. He could be one of the best linebackers coaches in the NFL, maybe even a defensive coordinator. But I'm not sure if he's head coaching material. Is he too intense for his own good? It seems like you perhaps need a more even-keeled guy as a head coach, kind of like head coach Mike McCarthy for the Packers. We're talking about Kevin Green, a guy who was into professional wrestling at one point, and nothing wrong with that, but I don't see too many professional wrestlers as being head coaching material. And John Rahor points out on our live blog, Kevin Green reminds me of Rob Ryan, could be a defensive coordinator, never a head coach. I kind of see it the same way. I could see him moving up that ladder to defensive coordinator, but, I can't see it as head coach. I could never see Rob Ryan as a head coach. Of course, his brother Rex is a head coach, and, well, Rex has his issues as well. I don't know if his eagle will ever allow him to have success as much as winning a Super Bowl. Comment from JChristian21, agreed, I don't see Kevin Green as a head coach. So, a good hypothetical discussion on a day like today. What's going on with the assistant coaches of the Green Bay Packers? And while we're on the topic here, two guys who were on the hot seat, we'll say, I don't know how much their jobs were in jeopardy, but two guys who have really, quelled the calling for their heads would be special teams coordinator Sean Slocum and offensive line coach James Campen. Now, nobody's talking about those guys, being promoted anywhere, but they've done a pretty good job of, keeping the firestorm down. They had been lightning rods for criticism in their first couple years with the Packers. Sean Slocum wrote an article about it at Cheesehead TV yesterday, how the special teams is improving quite a bit this year. And, I think a lot of it simply has to do with the specialists for the Packers that are becoming very, very good. The kicker, the punter, the long snapper, the specialists, and if you even throw the return specialist into the mix there as well. You've got Mason Crosby, Tim Mastay, Brett Goud, and Randall Cobb, who are all pretty darn good. Now, are the coverage units and the protection units that good? I think they're better than last year. I think what Sean Slocum has done every year, and this is his third year now as coordinator, is he's taking baby steps, and they are small baby steps, though, as this is one of my favorite phrases. But Sean Slocum, every year, his first year was a disaster as the special teams coach. Last year, he took a small step forward. This year, it becoming a small step forward. I think these coverage units are becoming progressively better, where he's, kind of gone from the bottom of the NFL to the middle of the NFL. That might even be generous, but they're definitely not at the top tier yet. But the specialists are great. Obviously, Randall Cobb is declaring he's one of the best returners in the NFL. And, Mason Crosby is playing out of his mind this year, probably a Pro Bowler. And Tim Mastay, 2 years in a row. He's kind of getting off to a slow start, but picking it up and playing pretty well. So, I mean, when you got those guys playing well, the special teams can be improved. Question from PacFan from Illinois in the live blog. Do you think Bush will be back next year? Good question. Jared Bush is a free agent after this year. You know, he's never really mentioned as one of those guys like Scott Wells, like JerMichael Finley, as candidates to be receive extensions. And well, they, you know, it's that time period has elapsed where players signing extensions can have their contracts on this going toward this year's salary cap still. Not that they can't sign extensions. It would just would be all that money would go toward future salary caps. Anyhow, Jared Bush, you know, not really in the same category. He's primarily a special teams player, but a good special teams player. You know, I just don't think there will be a huge market for a guy like Jared Bush. So I think he can come back for a reasonable contract. The Packers will pay him, you know, a reasonable amount of money. And probably maybe a 2-year contract we're talking about. You know, they're not going to give Jared Bush a 4-year, 5-year contract, I don't think. But, you know, it's somewhere around $1 million a year. For Jared Bush, the Packers will pay that. You know, they kind of do have to consider, you know, his game is based upon his speed. You know, Jared Bush plays all the special teams units, or a lot of them at least. You know, gunner and on kickoff coverage, a jammer on punt return. And a lot of his game is based upon speed. And he's getting to the age, getting to the point or that speed, you know, may become a factor working against him, losing a step. So, you know, experience can make up for that somewhat. And that's good. I mean, Jared Bush does have a lot of experience now. And in the future years, maybe just being a little smarter, you know, being a little headier than the players he's playing against will, you know, get him by. So yeah, I do think Jared Bush will come back as we're on the topic here for special teams on Rail Bird Central. In other news today, running back Alex Green is having surgery today, in fact, as Paul Immig of Fox Sports Wisconsin points out in an article. Quote, Green, a third-round pick out of Hawaii, posted on Twitter that his expected recovery time will take between 4 and 8 months. So, Alex Green, probably ready for training camp next year, you would think. I mean, I suppose if an injury was going to occur, if you're going to look at the silver lining here, you know, obviously you don't want him to have an injury, but if it did have to occur, it occurred early in the season, and, you know, he now has enough time to rest, recuperate, recover in time for next year, and hopefully, you know, will be full go during training camp, or at least mostly full go. You know, I'm sure they'll bring him back slowly, and he'll probably miss a lot of the off-season program. But for a young guy, you hope the best for him. Because he could be playing a bigger role next year. You got to remember that Ryan Grant is a free agent this year who may or may not be back. Forced to guess, I would say Ryan Grant will not be back with the Packers next year. But that's a discussion for another time. Alex Green will be back, and you know, he's having surgery today, and that's going to be the last we're going to hear of Alex Green for a while. Kind of interesting, head coach Mike McCarthy yesterday said in an interview during his press conference that he wants to see more from Green's replacement on the roster, Brandon Sane. Just kind of came out of the blue a little bit, so if the Packers kind of will get Brandon Sane as part of their game plan. Would come as a little bit as a surprise to me, but, you know, it looks like it could happen. I don't think it's going to be a big thing, but, you know, it's we will see. Question here from Pac Fan from Illinois. Any update on Clifton and how he was doing? Yes, the big news yesterday. Head coach Mike McCarthy said Clifton is expected to be back, or they hope he'll be back, by the Giants game. I believe that is December 4th. Not going to play this week. Oh, this week. Said next week at Detroit would be a stretch. Didn't rule it out for the Detroit game, for the Thanksgiving game, but it would be a stretch. Most likely, the most likely scenario will be the Giants game. So, Chad Clifton coming back, and that would mean, if he does come back, they're probably not going to keep him on the bench. If he comes back, he's back to play and start, you know, for Marshall Newhouse, who has been starting at left tackle. Yeah, I just can't see Chad Clifton sitting the bench. Marshall Newhouse hasn't been bad at left tackle. We can say that, right? Marshall Newhouse hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been good. He hasn't been great. He hasn't wowed. He's done his job. He's allowed the Packers to, you know, succeed. And, you know, I thought personally he did a better job against the Vikings on Monday than he did the first time around. You know, a lot of the things that Jared Allen did, you know, there's so much attention on Jared Allen, wasn't all the fault of Marshall Newhouse. You know, take for instance, the, what was it, the first play of the game or one of the earliest plays where Aaron Rodgers fumbled the football unexpectedly, just kind of came out of his hands, oops. And, you know, Allen, you know, tackled him and was credited for a sack. You know, Rodgers was kind of moving out of the pocket. And I think, you know, Marshall Newhouse did what was expected of him, held off Jared Allen as long as could be expected of any player. And, you know, so I don't really fault him for that. And did he beat around the edge once, twice, maybe? But, I mean, I thought he held his own and made Jared Allen work for what he got. On the live blog, John Rahor commenting, if nothing else, Newhouse earned huge game experience, which will serve him well in the future. Colleen commenting, the O-line better protect Aaron better than they did the last game. That was another big story coming out of this game, how the offensive line performed. It was poor, bordered on poor. Maybe not poor, but it bordered on poor in the first half against the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers was under assault on the run. And, you know, it gave up two sacks in the first half and took some hard hits as well. And you can't do that to your franchise quarterback. You know, that can't happen to Aaron Rodgers. You can't be allowing him to get hit. And a lot of it, you know, had to do with TJ Lang and Josh Sitton, the guards especially, who did not have a very good game. In either the run or the pass. A little bit disappointing. You know who's starting to play well? Is Brian Bulaga. At the right tackle. You know, I wanted to say this as well. And this is getting off topic here. I'm going to go the defensive side of the ball here for a second. Maybe perhaps the last point I'm going to make of the show. Sam Shields had a game against Minnesota like he had all last year. Sam Shields was kind of invisible on Monday, wasn't he? And that's a good thing for a cornerback I mean, perhaps you want them to be visible intercepting passes. But I mean, when they are invisible, that just means they are preventing their receiver, their covering, from catching passes. That's what that means. And that's what Sam Shields did against the Vikings. And so that's a very good thing. And that was the Sam Shields we saw last year. Didn't get a whole lot of his interceptions last year. Just kind of, you know, latched on to the guys and prevented opposing quarterbacks from throwing his way. And I thought Sam Shields took a big step in the right direction. As did a lot of the secondary on Monday. Tremont Williams did come up with an interception and otherwise, shut down the opposing receivers he was covering. Charles Woodson was all over the place, missed a couple tackles, but more than made up for it with, playing sideline to sideline between blitzing and covering and everything. And Morgan Burnett being used on the blitz. How about that? A couple times. Different to see from defensive coordinator Dom Capers. Good game from the secondary. Liked it a lot. Anyhow, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to Railbird Central this morning here on Cheesehead TV. We will be back on Friday morning at 8:30 a.m. for our Buccaneers Primer Edition of Railbird Central. So make sure to join us then. For Jamie Jorgis, for John Rahor, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. I leave you with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See ya.